Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
If you got your word with you, you got your sword with you, I want you to turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua in the Old Testament. I want you to turn there today. And once you get there, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I love this live streaming technology, but you got to understand, for a preacher like me, it's a little bit difficult because I'm used to moving around a lot, but that's okay. I'm going to stay locked in. I promise you I won't jump out your frame. I'm going to stay close to you today. I'm going to stay locked in. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Read something like this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In trying times like this, I just feel like I need to read those words again so that they could resonate in your spirit and they can give you a little bit of hope. This is the words of the Lord to his servant Joshua. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If you're taking notes, starting a brand new series that I'll be talking through for the next 3 weeks, and in this time of fear, I really just wanted to do one thing, and that's just encourage hope in believers. So starting a brand new series today called By Hope, B-Y, By Hope. And the first message, if you want to take notes, you can entitle it this: Strong and Courageous. Strong and courageous. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, you know, before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that would be tuned in, logged on right now. God, you're not surprised by who's watching this broadcast, God. But you know the words that are going to come out, they need to hear. God, I pray that I lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, I pray for hearts, minds, and ears to be open and be receptive to a word that will always be about Jesus. God, I pray that we would not give in to fear at this time, but God, we would know that you're with us wherever we go. And God, I pray for the one, wherever they are in the world right now watching this, God, person that logged on just looking for a message of hope in this time, God, let them know that they can only find hope in Jesus. And I pray for the one that needs to hear this word the most. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. If you like that, I want you to give me like 500 hearts right now. Just hit it on Facebook. Just hearts, 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 hearts. Hearts, 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 hearts. Hearts, hearts, hearts. Hearts. Awesome. Glad you did that. All right. Get ready. Here we go. So there's been a constant bad news feed lately. I mean, I feel like we're in a space now where we're kind of having to adjust to a new normal. And we're realizing, man, like, it's just a lot. It's a lot to take in. Is there anybody out there right now that feels like all of this going on in life is just a lot? It's overwhelming. Like, there's questions that I ask myself now that I never had to ask myself before. And it's crazy. Like, how do I protect myself when I leave my house from an enemy I can't even see? Like, should I wear gloves? Should I not wear gloves? Should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? Should I risk even leaving my house at all? Like, how important are the Tostitos at the grocery store? Do I need them? Do I not need them? How important are my Corona snacks in this time? I'm asking myself all kinds of questions. Like, how do I homeschool my child? I'm not a teacher. I am realizing in these days that I lack this thing that only the Holy Spirit can give you called patience. I love my child, but I know there's a reason I'm not a teacher. If you out there and you hear me say amen, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We love our kids, but man, when you quarantine with your kids, they could be something else. Well, will my job lay me off because the type of work that I do is not in demand right now? I mean, what's going on? Will I have a job next week? I don't know what you're facing, but these are the types of questions that we're asking ourselves in this time. Can I go around my loved ones, or am I putting them in danger just by being around them? Am I stocked up enough for if the worst happens? Or like, how long are people really gonna expect me to stay in my house? Like, am I infected with this thing and I don't even know it? Like, these are all questions that we're probably all asking ourselves right now. And if we can be honest, like, it gets so overwhelming. I just want life to be normal again. Is there anybody out there like me that just wants life to go back to normal? No matter what, church, no matter how overwhelmed you may feel in this time, no matter how many adjustments you've had to make, what I want you to hear from me loud and clear, church, is that we cannot lose hope. We cannot lose hope. Hope is what we have. And I love, as believers, we hope in something greater than ourselves. We hope in something greater than a situation. We have hope in the Most High God, and his name is Jesus. Church, we cannot lose hope in this time. For I love what the great minister Martin Luther says. He says, everything that is done in this world is done by hope. We cannot do anything positive to affect this world if we don't have hope in us, because hope allows us to believe for something greater than what we see. This is why the promise of heaven is so beautiful for me, because if I could be honest, the things I see, they don't give me any hope. But I have faith in a God that I cannot physically see, but I can see his actions. I can see how he manifests. I can see how he has blessed my life. So I have hope, knowing that there is something better than what I physically see right now. Everything that's done in this world is done by hope. I love what Martin Luther King Jr. says. He says, we must accept infinite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Never let anything deter you from having hope. Yeah, everything's not going to be good all the time. Yeah, there are some disappointments that we got to face, but we should never stop hoping even in the face of disappointment. And I love finally what Nelson Mandela says. He says, may your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears. We're living in a fear-based culture, and so many people are making decisions based on fear. People are buying toilet paper because they're scared. I don't want to make fear-based decisions. I want to make hope-based decisions. And I put my hope in something that is greater than myself. And once again, his name is Jesus. I will not make a decision based on fear. I'm going to choose to live by hope, knowing that God has already promised to deliver us. I love my God, because when he makes a promise, he never, ever breaks it. And it leads me to this passage of text that I read you in Joshua 1:9. And it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, at this point in his life, you might say he was highly overwhelmed. Why? Because literally the transition of power, the mantle of power, the mantle of leadership was being laid on his life at this moment. Moses had already passed on to be with the Lord. And we know that Moses never made it to the promised land. He saw it from the mountaintop, but he never made it there. And the mantle of leadership was taken from him, and it was given to Joshua. So in Joshua chapter 1, we hear about this transference of leadership. And could you imagine everything that Joshua had to be thinking at the time? We already know that the Hebrew people, the Israelite people, were, the Bible calls them, a stiff-necked people. They were stubborn. How do I know they were stubborn? Because they were so stubborn, God allowed them to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years for a journey from Egypt to the promised land that should have taken them about a week. But it took them 40 years because these were the most hard-headed people of all time. They kept forgetting about the promises of God. They kept saying, man, I want to go back to the pots of meat in Egypt. They'd rather eat slave food than free food because they couldn't change their mentality. And now, after Moses was done dealing with these people, now it was Joshua's turn. And I could imagine how he must have felt. He had to be so overwhelmed by the mantle of leadership that was placed on him, but God reassures him right in the first chapter of the book. It says, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I love this, because it was a command and a promise all rolled up in one. And the beautiful thing about it is, this promise was not just specifically for Joshua. It was for Joshua, and it was for all the people. How do you know? Because he tells him, hey, I've already commanded you. You be strong, and you be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I'm giving you this authority, and I'm letting you know I'm going to be with you because I need you to lead my people to the promised land. So Joshua didn't just take this promise and would have internalized it just for himself. God gave him the promise in an overwhelming time because God wasn't just promising Joshua that he was going to be with him wherever he went. He was promising he was going to be with all the people of Israel as he got them to the promised land. What I love is God is making a promise to Joshua. He gets the burden of the promise, but the people that follow Joshua, they get the fruit of the promise. Here's what I want you to understand. There are literally some people that are around you right now that are going to be blessed because of the promise that God made you. You got to understand that. You say it, the promise isn't just for me. God's not just going to be with me. No. God didn't just give this promise to you. He promised you this because he purposed you to do something greater, which is get his people to the promised land. In this time of fear, God promises believers he will not leave us and he will not forsake us. Why? Because if God is with us, guess what? There are some people that are around us that are going to get the blessing just because they're in close proximity to us. You got to understand how amazing that is. See, what I find is when people start getting blessed because they're around me, then they want to know where my blessing comes from. Church, we have such a beautiful opportunity because when it looks like we're down and out, when it looks like we can't meet anymore, I want you to hope and know that our God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, and we will thrive and we will flourish in this time. And people will look around and say, why is the church thriving even though they can't meet? And they will ask where our blessing comes from. And we have an opportunity to say that our blessings come from the promises of God. I'm the person you want to be around in a crisis because I know where my blessing comes from. But the beauty is the promise is just not for me. The promise is for all of us. It's for those that are around us. The promise is not just for us. It's for them. Who is them? Them people that drive you crazy. Them people at your job. Them kids that are bored and they're driving you crazy in your house. The promise is not just for you. The promise is for them. You see, we all get a promise, but what's different between us and them is that they get the promise, we get orders. You say, well, what are you talking about? He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong strong and courageous. You say, hold up. So you're saying I got to deal with the weight of the promise, but they get the fruit of the promise? Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. You're going to get fruit too just because God loves you. But once again, God wants to bless somebody through you. And you say, I don't want to carry that. That's not fair. I just want the fruit. Well, I got news for you. It's not a request. It's an order. It's not a request. For the Bible says, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? We are living in days that, whether you like it or not, Christians are required to be strong and courageous. You want the blessing, but you cannot get the blessing until you fulfill the requirement. I'm not asking you to be strong and courageous. God is telling us. He is commanding. He says, have I not commanded you? We must be strong and courageous. You say, how do you know that? Because before he said it here, he already told Joshua the same thing three different times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong. It wasn't a suggestion. I believe that God is telling us how to operate in times where there is no hope, in times where we feel like we are overwhelmed. God is commanding us as believers, we must be strong. We must be courageous. You got to have courage. We must have courage. Hear me, family. We must have courage in this fear-driven time. If you hear nothing else I say, believe me, we must have courage. What is courage? What does courageous even mean? It means to not be deterred by danger or pain. Not be deterred by danger or pain, to be brave. Courage does not mean that you are not scared. It just means that you're not going to allow your fear to deter you from what you have to do. Courage means that you keep moving forward no matter what. We could have just been like, you know, since we can't meet, I don't know what's going to happen with the church, and we're just going to stop. No, we figured out a way to get online real quick because we were not going to be deterred by what was before us. Just starting this church, if I could just be human for a second, there was so much anxiety that was going on in the background of my life and my wife when we started this church. My wife spoke of it a little earlier, but last year, January 27th, we kicked off the very first Cool Church service, and if I could be honest, it was terrifying. It was scary. And what nobody knows, see, they saw the big service, you know, they saw all the social media posts. What they didn't know is that weeks before January 27th, we still didn't even have a facility to meet in. You got to understand, we were promoting like crazy. Social media was on lock. I mean, you saw Cool Church all over Facebook, all over Instagram. And we're saying on January 27th, the first service is coming. January 27th, 2019, the first service is coming. We didn't even have a building. Do you know it was literally not until a week before January 27th that we finalized the contract on that building? Now, what you gotta understand is that even though that contract wasn't signed yet, and even though I was scared, if I could be honest, church, there was nothing that was gonna stop us from having church on January 27, 2019. I don't care if we'd have had it in a parking lot. I don't care if we'd have been in a park. I don't care if we'd have had to get a bunch of people jammed up into my house. We would have done whatever we had to do on January 27th to start, because we were not going to allow the fears and the anxieties and the troubles to stop us from making sure that we did what God had called us to do. We can't be deterred by the things that are in front of us. And I'm so thankful that we kept going. Last year, we saw about 638 people get saved at Cool Church. What would have happened if on January 27th, 2019, we said, because we don't have a building, we can't meet? Thank God we figured out a long time ago that our church was not based on a building. Thank God we figured out a long time ago that our church is not based on a facility. What we've always known from day one is that we're not here to settle down at a campsite. We're going to keep on backpacking because we believe that there is no place comfortable enough for us. We are never going to be confined to a building. We're never going to be confined to a space. We will have a building and we will have a space one day, but until any of that happens, we are always going to be united in heart, mind, and soul. So through the camera, we still got a connection. Through your iPad, we still got a connection. Through your phone, we still got a connection, because this thing has always been bigger than a building, and we're not going to allow the fear of what may come or what may not come deter us from stopping to meet together. I don't know when we're going to meet again, but it's not going to stop us from continuing to preach the word of God and getting out the message that you are created out of God's love. It's who we are. It's what we believe. I'm not going to be deterred by danger or pain. It hurts my heart that I cannot be with you right now, church. It really does. I love seeing my family. I hate that I can't hug or give a high five right now. It hurts. It pains me, but I'm not going to allow the hurt. I'm not going to allow the danger. I'm not going to allow the pain to deter me. We got to be courageous in spite of what we are faced with. We got to walk through the trials. I know there's people out there right now whose jobs have let them go because their jobs have had to cut back because there's no use for the service that a particular business is providing. Be courageous if your job lets you go. God's already lined up provision for you. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So if you lose something right now, I promise you he's got something better for you. Be courageous in isolation. God's just creating more time for you to spend with him. Sometimes when we're moving too fast, God has to do stuff to slow us down so we focus on who he is. Don't be scared when you're by yourself, because even when you're by yourself, you're never by yourself, because God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So take this moment to draw close to him, because he's always drawing close to you. Be courageous in your prayer life, church. Like, pray about everything. At all times. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Like, this is a beautiful moment for some people in church, because you could actually learn how to pray. You could really learn how to pray. You could take a room in your house. You could take a closet. You could make a prayer closet. Man, you could start shouting at the devil as crazy as you want to, because you in your own house. Ain't nobody gonna see you. Stop saying wimpy prayers. This is the time when we need to say courageous prayers. Be bold about it. Don't let nothing deter you from it. You need to shout at the enemy and let him know that he is already lost in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to stick my foot on his head every time I have the opportunity, because he's only a footstool to me, because my God's already defeated him. Be bold about your prayer. Be courageous. Man, be courageous in how you love your neighbor right now. Help those that cannot help themselves. We got to look after the widow, the orphan, the elderly, the disabled. Man, look after that neighbor that doesn't love Jesus, because they're going to see something in you that could bless them and lead them towards what real love is. Be courageous in how we love. Be courageous in your faith. When the world says at a time like this, well, where's your God? Why the coronavirus come? Did God let this happen? You can look back at them and be courageous in your faith and say, look, my God was in the beginning. My God's standing right here, right now in the middle. And my God's already at the end of this pandemic called coronavirus. So because I already know he's taking care of this, I'm going to thank him before I see the revelation of this thing being overcome, because I already know that even though I can't see it right now, he's already taking care of it. So I'm going to have a courageous faith to say, my God's always been here. He's never left. He's already gone ahead, but he stands beside me each and every moment. We will not be deterred from the promise of a better tomorrow, because we don't submit to fear. We commit to faith. We must have courage, but I love that it says, be strong and courageous. If I could just be honest, I get more excited about the strength than the courage, because I know I got to move past my fear. I know God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But we must have strength. In this time, now more than ever, you must have strength, church. What does strong even mean? Able to withstand a great force of pressure. Strength is being able to withstand a great force or pressure. You can't possibly know how strong you are until you see what you're able to withstand. I was, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was trying to get my workout on. You know, everybody got their New Year's resolutions. 2020 been something else, you know. And as I was really getting into it, you know, I was trying to do it with my wife. You know, it was a thing like we were doing it together, you know. It's like, yeah, we're going to work out. We're going to be fit couple together. Yeah, like, you know, something we was doing. And there's an awesome young lady that goes to our church. Her name is Nicole. And Nicole, if you out there, I love you, girl. She's probably got more energy than any person in our church. She is awesome. She loves God. She's got energy, but she's a trainer. So me and my wife, you know, we got some fitness assessments by her. She's really awesome. And then, like, we had to go and actually start the training. I know I'm getting old, because there were movements that Nicole had asked me to do. And as I did them, I felt things in my body that I have never felt before. There are pains that I never knew I could have. There were muscles that I had that I did not know existed. And this was just the first workout. And I'm not gonna lie, I try to display a little bravado every now and then. So I was trying to be tough, you know? I respect Nicole as a trainer. I was like, yo, what we not finna do is be passing out in this gym. That's what we not finna do. And I had my wife right there, and I know how she is. She loved me, but she would have judged me. She would have judged me real bad if I'd have fainted on that workout. So I'm looking at her. I'm dying. I'm like, girl, you got another one in you, right? Because I got about 10 more in me. And I'm like, I was dying. But I was not going to stop, because if I stopped, I was going to look like a punk. And I wasn't going to look like no punk. I was going to keep on going. I saw my wife. I saw Nicole. I said, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do as many push-ups as they tell me. I'm going to do whatever that little side thing, that little side bend you made me doing, and made my little back fat hurt. I was doing all that. I was doing all. It killed me. And after that work, like, by the time I was getting to the end of the workout, like, you know when something is supposed to be over, but it just goes on a little bit too much longer? I was in my head like, please let this be the last workout. Please, please, God, please, please, God, please. I never prayed so hard in my life. God, please. Let this be the last movement. And thank God, Nicole's like, all right, it's over. You made it. She was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. I looked at my wife. I said, hey, baby girl, I ain't gonna lie. I wanted to quit about 10 times during that workout. But I didn't, because I ain't want y'all to judge me if I didn't make it through. And I realized something in that moment. She pushed me past my limit. She pushed me to a place that I didn't know that I even had in me. She pushed me farther than where I knew I could go. And I just want somebody out there to hear me right now, because you feel like you've been pushed beyond your limit. Listen to me. You don't know how strong you are until you have to be. You don't know how strong you are until you have to be. As a matter of fact, you're stronger than you know. You are so much stronger than you know. You don't know you could work two jobs at once and raise three kids until you have to. Like, you don't know you can live for 20 years after a cancer diagnosis until you have to. You don't know that you can get out of that nasty, abusive relationship after all these years until you have to. You don't know that you can bootstrap your own finances for your business until you have to. You don't know that you can hope again, believe again, trust again, love again until you have to. And you don't know that you could be a church in this time of adversity until you have to. If you'd have asked me 2 weeks ago if we'd be ready to do what we're doing right now, I'd say, I don't know. But now that we've had to be, God has shown us that we were ready the whole time. You have no idea what is in you until you have to do it. Church, this is our moment in history to show the world who the church really is and how strong we really are. We will not back down. We will not be pushed into a corner. We will not allow fear to dictate who we are and what we do. We will do this because we have to. Listen to me, church. I'm not asking you to watch because I just think it's good for you and it's going to bless your life. No. I'm asking you to stay tuned and stay locked in and stay connected because we have to. We have to as a church. We need to stand strong. The world is not seeing any good examples of strength right now. So the only way they're going to really see what's strong is when they look at us. And how do we show we're strong? We show it with joy. We put a smile on our face as we go through it. For the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. While everybody else is miserable, I'm a smile. I'm a laugh. I'm not laughing at the problem because I don't take it seriously. I'm just laughing at the problem because I know my God is bigger than the problem. I'm keeping joy in my heart, joy in my spirit. It's not always because I want to. I just know I have to. I have to because it's a church. If we don't, we'll be doing the world a disservice because right now the world is looking for strength and they can only find it in us. What are we showing the world? Are we miserable and we broken by this pandemic? Are we showing them that we're going to put our chin up, our shoulders back, that we're going to smile in the face of adversity? We're going to show them that we're not going to be deterred by the pain or the heartache. Are we going to show them that we have the ability to withstand a great force or great pressure? See, the more of God's joy I show in this time of distress, the stronger I become. The Bible says in Joshua 1:9, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. I love that. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. First, we get the command, be strong and courageous. Then we get the promise. You ain't got to be afraid. You ain't got to be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't be scared of what you can't see, and don't lose confidence in who you follow. For the Lord our God is with you. Don't lose confidence in him at this time. Don't lose confidence in who you follow. I love my older brother a lot. His name's TJ. He was in the military, the United States Armed Forces, the Army for 21 years. He served, man. He was a tank commander, a sergeant. Awesome, man. This dude, he ain't scared of nothing. He's probably one of the most fearless people I know. If I'm about to get into something or something crazy is happening, TJ's like, all right, what's up? Let's go. I'm ready. One of the fun things that me and my brother are kind of into, every now and then we'll go play paintball. You know, paintball's fun. And if I can be honest, I'm not really good at paintball. But the reason I like going to play paintball with TJ, because he's really good at it. Because he probably takes it too seriously. I mean, I feel like all the old wartime thoughts start coming back to him, you know? He starts remembering places, you know? He gets his gun. He's so serious with it. He's like a sniper. He's like, yeah, man, headshots only, dog. I'm like, hey, man, calm down, bro. Like, calm down. It's not that serious. I love going paintballing with TJ. And usually when you go paintballing, they make you break up in teams. But I'm smart. I know I'm not that good at paintball. So I always ask my older brother to be on my team. I'm like, hey, T, me and you, we're on the same team, right? He's like, yeah. So I'm like, all right, good. And this is my strategy, because I know if I'm on his team, I ain't got to worry. I know we going to win, because I know he going to take the game more serious than everybody there. This man be barrel rolling on the ground. I mean, he be popping up. He's like, pew, pew. I mean, he's got like hand signals. He's like, all right, alpha left, bravo right. I'm like, Commodore. I'm like, what are you saying? I don't even know what that means. He's like, all right, you're going to flank this way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go straight up the middle. You're going to come around the side, and you're going to flank them, and then we're going to defeat the enemy. I'm like, wait, they're kids. They're just kids. What's wrong with you? I like going to play paintball with my brother, because my strategy for winning is the entire time, I just stay behind him. I just follow him, because I know that if somebody gets in his way, kak, they're done. And I know I won't get hit, because I'm behind somebody that knows what they're doing. You see, when I play a game of paintball with my brother, we don't lose. Because while he's walking forward doing barrel rolls and clearing houses, I'm making sure I stay behind him the whole time, because he's already defeated the enemy before I ever even come into the picture. Oh, I wish somebody can hear what I'm talking about right now. I don't have to be good at paintball to play paintball. All I got to do is hang around the best player. I wish somebody in your living room could hear me right now. You see, the more I walk with God, the more I follow him, the more I remember that he is with me and he won't leave me or forsake me, I know that I'm gonna see a victory, because I play with the greatest winner of all time, and his name is Jesus. I don't have to be scared. He's taken out all enemies, so that no weapon formed against me shall touch me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The longer I walk with God, the more I realize I'm not strong. I'm just relying on his strength. And I don't even have to worry about being a winner, because I chill with the greatest winner of all time. You see, it gives me the license to walk into rooms that I have no business walking into, because I know that strength got to the room before I ever got there. It gives me the license in this season to know how to lead my family, because when I'm trying to figure out and I'm overwhelmed about what should I do to protect my wife and my daughter, my God goes before me and he's already laid out an action plan, and all I gotta do is follow. And we gonna lead this church through the fire, even though we've never been here before. Even though we just figured all this out in a few days. Even though I can't tell you when the next time we gonna meet again, I'm not worried, I'm not dismayed, because I know that our God goes before us. And when we stand strong in this moment, the church will show the world what real strength looks like. All we gotta do, we don't have to move forward. All we gotta do is allow God to move forward. And if we stay aligned with him, if we walk with him and know that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that we can walk in true strength, and we will always see a victory. For I love Joshua, because when he was overwhelmed, he followed the command and he relied on the promise, and he took the people to the promised land. But I love Joshua, because Joshua is nothing more than a type of shadow, a type and shadow of Jesus. For Joshua's name in the Hebrew means Yahweh is salvation. And it also means, it's also translated to one word, one name, Jesus. Jesus tells us that we must be strong and courageous, Because Jesus is the God that leads his people to the promised land. I don't know where you are today, but maybe fear has gripped you. You got to be strong and you got to be courageous, because you got to know that Jesus is with you. And if he's with you, he's going to lead you to the promised land. I'd be a fool to believe that everybody that's watching this right now knows Jesus. But maybe I could just speak to a couple individuals in this moment of fear right now. Say, man, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I don't feel safe. I feel all alone. You don't gotta worry. Be strong. Be courageous. And know that our God is with you. Wherever you go, I wanna ask a simple question. With every head bowed and every eye closed, right where you are, don't worry about who's around you right now. This is between you and Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, I don't want to fear anymore. You say, I don't want to be weak anymore. I want to be strong and courageous. I don't want to feed into everything the media is telling me. I want to be strong and courageous. You cannot be strong and you cannot be courageous if you don't know Jesus. Right now, if you want to get over your fear, if you want to get over your anxiety, there is a cure, and his name is Jesus. If you want Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I always put out this call, and I'm going to do it until the Lord comes home and takes his people back to heaven. If you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you want to know that you always got a winner on your side. You want to know that the enemy can't hurt you. He can't discourage you. You can't do that when you got Jesus on the inside of you. So on the count of three, if you need Jesus right where you are, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. Just raise it up, raise it up, raise it up. Maybe you're in your room by yourself. Raise it up. Only person that's looking is God. I can't even see you. Only person that sees is God. Yep. If that's you, I want everybody in the sound of my voice to repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I've sinned. I'm not proud of it, but I admit it. Today, I lay my sin down. Take it, I pray. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to receive your forgiveness and take the place of my sin. I ask that you would accept me, Lord, into your wonderful family. Today, I give my life completely to you. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.